This was a fantastic conversation. This was a young lady, Brianna Powey, who reached out to me, said she had wanted to share her story. I wasn't sure. I'm usually never really sure what to think when people reach out to me from the blue, although I'm always open to having conversations. And when I did some background investigation on her, she has an amazing story that I'm going to let her tell when we dive into the actual interview. We spend about the first half hour really just talking about her personal experience as a wheelchair user, somebody who up until the age of 20 had never used a wheelchair. And we just talked through what that was like for her. We have an interesting conversation towards the end about entitlement and sense of entitlement in people with disabilities. We talk about stigma and some of the challenges that she's faced as a wheelchair user. It was an amazing conversation, and I so treasure these because I have so many questions that I'm usually uncomfortable and I don't want to say afraid, but I'm uncomfortable to ask. I don't know anybody well enough. And before I start the interview, I always ask my guests if there's anything I shouldn't ask. I preface it with, these are the types of things I want to ask about. Would you be okay having these conversations? And I'm so grateful that my guests are open to having these conversations with me. It's how I learn. I think it's how we all learn. And I think it's important that we have these conversations because we need, stigma isn't going to be removed by a highlight reel. We really need to talk real about what people are experiencing and what it's like from their point of view. So with that introduction, I hope you really enjoy this conversation that I have with Brianna Powey. If you don't know me, my name is Eric Jorgensen. I'm the host of the ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. If this is your first episode, I do these podcasts to introduce you, my listener, to organizations and individuals around the country that are helping people with disabilities, any type of disability. My company, True North Disability Planning, is focused on helping individuals and professionals navigate the maze of benefits, resources, services available to those with disabilities, because the biggest problem that I found being a parent and just trying to find resources myself are nobody seems to know how everything works together or what all is out there. It is kind of the Wild West, and I'm working to change that. Thanks for listening. Welcome, everyone. I'm glad you could join me. Today I have with me another person who happens to have a disability, Brianna Powey. I'm much more interested in hearing her story and what she's doing with the Wheel With Me Foundation than I am about all the things that she can do in a wheelchair, like make coffee and go to the store. We were joking about this beforehand, so it's a little bit of an inside joke. But Brianna, thank you for joining me. Welcome to the ABC's Disability Planning Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's absolutely a pleasure.
I'm so glad you reached out. We were talking before I hit record. You have a very, for me, from my perspective, I'm sure there's thousands or millions of people out there who have a similar perspective to you, but you're unique to me, where I haven't really been able to have this conversation with anyone because you haven't always been a wheelchair user. You had a pretty, based on the pictures that you shared with me on your Facebook page, the pictures of the car, and I mean, holy cow, I'm surprised you got out of it alive. You had a pretty horrific car accident, correct?
That is correct. Yeah. In 2011, I made the poor choice to be drinking and driving, and I had my seatbelt on, luckily. So when I lost control of my car and flipped, where the lap band was holding my body in, that is where my back broke. So I am paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And if from what I remember reading, you were actually life flighted, right? I mean, do you remember any of that, or was it all kind of a blur?
So the actual crash, I don't remember. I remember going a little bit too fast around this corner, and I felt the tire blow out, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm gonna hit the ditch. But I don't remember actually hitting the ditch and the actual flip. The next thing I do remember is being outside of my car, laying in the grass right next to it, and just kind of, I wasn't able to sit up at all. And by this time, someone else had stopped. He had run over to me. He's like, I don't think you should move. You should just wait here. You should just hold still. He's like, I already called for someone. And all I remember is asking for my mom, like, I just want to go home. I'm ready. I'm done. I'm ready to go home. Can someone just call my mom? And They're like, you're not going home. We're not, we'll call your mom, but you're not going home. And so I do remember when I crashed, it was right around sunset time. So the sun was just starting to go down. I remember being in the ambulance for just a second, but then a few minutes later, I did remember hearing the noise of the chopper, the womp, 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 womp.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was kind of in and out. I remember bits and pieces of it throughout the night. I remember people coming in to see me in the hospital. It's actually very interesting because I remember like losing sensations.
Oh my.
When I first got to the ER, they were doing a pinprick test to see like where my sensations were. And at that time I could still feel down to my knees. And throughout the night it had gone all the way up to where my injury had happened up to my belly button.
Wow.
But for the first few hours, they're like, can you feel that poking? I'm like, yeah, you're poking my leg. I can feel that for sure. And yeah, within the first, I want to say it had to have been the first 12 hours. It was pretty much gone.
How old? I mean, if I can ask, I know you're not supposed to ask a woman her age, but how old were you?
So I was 20 years old. I was just a couple
oh my
months
gosh.
Shy of my 21st birthday. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, when I was 20, I was in the Navy, but I thought I was invincible.
Exactly. And that's what I was. I was just a 20-year-old with a fake ID, thinking that she was invincible. And I just had this conversation the other day. I'd had that ID for a year. So this wasn't something new to me. I thought that I wasn't going to get in trouble with the law. I didn't think that I was going to get in trouble with my body. And next thing you know, life throws me a curveball. And I was taught a very hard lesson, but from day one, I never shied away from that truth. When people ask me what happened, I'm like, yeah, I was drinking and driving, but I was wearing my seatbelt and it saved my life. If I wasn't wearing my seatbelt, I probably would have been ejected. And God only knows what kind of condition I'd be in now, if I'd even be alive.
Yeah, and absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that I find so compelling about your story, and again, this is what I took away from the podcast. You were on the Enabled Disabled podcast. I'm going to share a link because I don't want to rehash it all. But, you know, you told me, you didn't tell me, but you were telling the interviewer that you didn't have a lot of friends with disabilities. So this must have been, you know, here you are, 20 years old, maybe in college, maybe not. But, you know, you go from that morning, you were getting dressed, standing up, looking at yourself in the mirror, to the next morning, you're in bed and you can't feel anything from the waist down. How do you come out of that? I mean, you those on the podcast can't see you, but you're grinning. You've got a great disposition, you know, and the pictures you have on Instagram and Facebook and the wheel, you know, it's all very happy and very positive. So you obviously haven't let it just define your life as, oh, my life sucks.
No, I never did. It was a sucky situation for sure. And I'm not going to lie. There's days where I hate being in my wheelchair and where it's just really complicated. And I, you know, I hate the complications that come with it. And it's just hard some days, and I'm not going to pretend like it's not, but for the most part, it wasn't like, okay, well, I'm going to give up now. I had friends coming visiting me in the hospital. They'd be like, man, if I was in your situation, I'd be done. I would off myself. And that was nothing, never crossed my mind. And I get everyone deals with this in their own way. They process things differently, but that was never giving up completely would never cross my mind. I was like, all right, well, I still got this life to live. I got to figure out how to do it. And it took me a while. I wasn't in college during my accident. I was working full time at a factory, actually. And then I had to refigure out what I was going to do. I was like, all right, well, I can't do factory work anymore. And I was thinking about going into nursing, and like, that doesn't feel right to me anymore. I was like, so how can I give back to the world? How can I provide value to my community? And it took me a few years, but I finally started volunteering at music festivals and giving back that way. And then I was like, all right, this is my purpose, is helping people in some kind of capacity. And that's eventually what I wanted to do, is just help people.
So when you say community, Brianna, what community, who is your community? What did, at the time, who did you see as your community?
So at that time, my community was just the world around me. Like, I lived in a very small town full of able-bodied people doing able-bodied things. And so I was like, okay, well, how can I fit into the world that I just left behind, essentially, you know? How can I fit into my old normal in the old spaces that I was in what my old belief systems were, and like what I thought I was supposed to do with my life? And I was like, well, I couldn't figure it out. And it took me 10, I fought it for about 10 years. I didn't find the disability community until 2021. So it was 10 years after my accident. And I finally, I finally found other people in wheelchairs. I finally learned what people in wheelchairs could do and like what they were up to. And I was like, okay. So like at the, I was already almost done with college at this point, but I was like, all right, well, I can do a whole lot more than just this basic stuff. And that's when things really changed. I was like, I don't need to fit in with everyone else. Like, I'm going to show everyone else they need to try to fit in with us.
Love that. I love that. So how did you find the other wheelchair users?
It was actually Wheel With Me. In the middle of the pandemic, I was just, you know, lost trying to figure out how to take care of myself and how to connect with other people just in general. I wasn't even looking for the disability community. And I saw online these flyers for free webinars, free events for people in wheelchair, for people who are wheelchair users. And I was like, all right, free. I like free. Free is good.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? And that's really what it was. I was like, okay, well, I can connect with other people. It's a free resource. And at the time, as a human service student, it just seemed right. Like, it just, at the very least, it was a good learning opportunity and a resource to share with my classmates. But then it just turned into something so much more than that. I signed up for every single night of that event. I went to 5 nights in a row. I saw 5 different speakers, all wheelchair users, all talking about all the cool things that they were doing. And I was like, all right. And that's essentially what it was. And I was unhappy with my body. I was unhappy with my mindset. I was unhappy with a lot of things at the time. And that was just the push that I needed to make the change and start pouring into me with like better food and exercising and like reading books and that are going to actually like propel me forward. So it was
like, what do you have a book that comes to mind that you're like, oh yeah, this one for sure.
Okay. So we're currently in our book club reading Think and Grow Rich. And
okay. I love that book.
It's really good. For those who haven't read it yet, it's just all pretty much about how like a positive mindset can pretty much make all of your dreams come true. It doesn't have to be business related because we have a fitness group, a support group, and we apply this to everything. You know, if you want to be the best mom you can be, if you want to be the best athlete you can be, if you want to be the best student, you know, whatever it is that you're working towards, as long as you have that good mentality, you can get that.
Yeah. One book for you to think about, it helped me when my wife died, was Peaks and Valleys. I don't remember who it was by, but it was a really thin book, really quick read. But it really helped me. And I mean, it's 10 years, my wife died 10 years ago. So and it's still, I carry it with me. The what I took away from that book, which to me speaks to how powerful and effective books can be. But you run the risk of, if all you're doing is reading self-improvement, if you're not actually applying it, are you really doing anything?
Yeah. And a lot of the books say that. They're like, we can give you this knowledge, but it's not going to make a difference unless you actually put action behind it. Right. You know, they say that knowledge is power. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge plus action and discipline is power.
Like that. Now, knowledge plus action and discipline is power.
Yeah. You have to put that knowledge to use if it's actually going to do you good.
Yes. Yes. So I've got to ask, because I try to be a student of words, and my original company name was Special Needs Navigator because I had started it back in 2017, and over time, I found that people didn't like the term special needs. So I rebranded to True North Disability Planning. You've said a couple times able-bodied, and I'm not pointing or I'm just asking out of genuine curiosity, because I've heard other wheelchair users say they don't like the term able-bodied because it implies that you know, you, Brianna, aren't able of doing something because you're a wheelchair user. Instead, they prefer the term non-disabled. Or, I mean, have you ever heard that? Or you know, it could just be because I'm in this little microcosm and I'm, you know.
I actually have not come across that before. And I think maybe it's just the community that we choose to live in. And maybe it's because me and my group kind of work with both communities. Yeah. And that's why we kind of interchange like able-bodied, not able-bodied. And yeah, I've never actually encountered that. And I guess I don't personally take it offensive. I don't think that using that makes me any less seen any less able to myself. Right. I did have someone reach out to me for a different interview and conversation, and they had noticed that I say wheelchair user a lot instead of disabled individual or, you know, individual with disabilities. And yeah, I guess I do prefer something like that. I use a wheelchair. I'm not disabled, I guess.
Right.
I have physical barriers. I have some physical barriers. But I'm just as able as everyone else, you know. Yeah. Like me and my roommate this summer, we climbed a mountain, which is crazy.
That's
to think.
Badass.
He's a user as well, you know. We we put ourselves in situations that most wheelchair users wouldn't do. And we're just like, all right, let's see what we can do today. How far can we go? And there are situations where we can't, you know, we can't get all the way to the end, but gosh darn it, we'll get as close as we can.
But it's not because you don't want to, it's because they haven't made the trail accessible or you don't have the right equipment yet, right? I mean, they're coming out with more of these wheelchairs. They have the tracks, the I'm holding my hands up like a diamond, but they have these almost like tank treads. So to bring more, and they're widening trails. I'm seeing more and more of that. We're trying to make all this much more accessible to people.
Yes, exactly. One of the things the foundation did this summer was host a camp for wheelchair users. And one of the attendees actually brought a bunch of his adaptive equipment that he makes himself. So he had things that you could attach to your wheelchair where you could go up a mountain easier, where you could go on those a little bit less accessible trails with, you know, your walking friends or non-disabled friends, whichever people prefer. Yeah, because that's what we want to show people, is we just want to show people that anything that you did, like for us, because a lot of my community is a spinal cord injury, so a lot of my friends were able-bodied and now aren't, you know. Right. So our main goal is to show people that you guys can do anything that you were doing before, like anything that pre-injury Bree was doing, I can do now. Like when I got into my injury, I kept telling myself, oof, I'm not gonna be able to go camping anymore. I'm not gonna be able to travel anymore. Like road trips off the table. Like I was really limiting myself. And I got really lucky that my core friends were just like, nah, girl, you can do anything you set your mind to. And if you can't, like, we'll get you there. And so if it was inaccessible, they'd push me a little bit, or they'd help me with my camping gear, or they'd pick me up and put me in the bigger truck, you know, like they made sure that I felt included. And that's all I want to do with other people in the community, is show them like, yeah, it may be tough. You might have to do it a little differently, but it can be done. It can definitely be done.
I love that. I mean, when I retired from the Navy, I was at Walter Reed National Military Center, and there's a lot of amputees there, you know, double quad, some quad amputees, you know, because they've been blown up, and the spirit they have, you know, and it goes back to what you and I were talking about, you know, the difference between being inspirational and being inspiration porn, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're doing the same thing just because, you know, it might be a little harder, but you're still doing it, is that really inspirational? No, you're just doing it, right? But the fact that you, to me, this is my opinion, I think inspiration comes when, hey, you know, I'm really impressed that you overcame something. What can I learn from you about how you overcame that? About how you didn't let this new thing become an identity, but rather, like you said, it's a barrier, a temporary barrier that I have to overcome. You know, obviously it's not temporary. I'm not using the right words, but I think you know where I'm trying to go, right? I mean,
exactly. Yeah, and kind of like we were touching on before, I don't want to be seen as inspirational for going to the grocery store, for getting dressed and putting myself together every day, for going out on a Friday night and getting a drink with my friends. That is normal people stuff. That is something that, those are like small basic needs, self-care, that every human, whether in a wheelchair, disabled, able-bodied or not, those are things that everyone should be doing, right? That doesn't make me inspirational. That's normal. I'm normal people stuff. But what I do think about myself as inspirational is that I got into this injury and I was still able to help take care of my family. You know, I still helped my mom take care of the house. I got my sister up for school every day. I was able to pour into my friends. I went back to school so that I could help other people. That's the stuff that's really inspirational to me. I mean, like, I never let that part slow me down. Yeah, I got a little confused. I had to relearn my purpose. We talk about our purpose a lot in our World Me Fitness group, because that's what drives people, right? Like, if you don't have a purpose and a why, how are you going to navigate through the rest of your day? So it did take me a couple years to figure out how I was going to give that purpose back to the world. And once I figured it out, I was like, all right, this is made for me. I am a helper. I'm going to keep giving back. I'm just going to keep showing people, able-bodied or not, that they can do more. They can absolutely do more.
Thank you for that. Did you see, or did it feel like, obviously your core group didn't, it sounds like your core group of friends were amazing and you sound incredibly lucky to have them, but did it feel like other people looked at you different? You know, what I see a lot in news articles and things is the huge unemployment rate. And then I did an interview with Nolu, No One Left Unloved, because they're trying to create the category of, you know, emotional acceptance and, you know, instead of emotional inclusion, and you know, not just be another dating app. Did you find that your world changed a little bit from being a 20-year-old with no disabilities, having trouble finding a date or finding a job, to now you're using a wheelchair, trying? And you can tell me if that's too personal. I mean, I don't want to make you, you know.
No, that's not too personal at all. And yeah, it was a big struggle, because after you get injured, they obviously tell you, you know, you can still go back to work. There's jobs out there for you. You can do so many hours and still collect disability. But at that time, and no offense to anyone who holds those kind of jobs, but at that time, it just wasn't fulfilling to me, like being a door greeter at Walmart or like volunteering at a hospital. Like, that wasn't big enough for me. Like, that's not my purpose. And so I at the time, I was like, well, I'd rather do nothing than live below my standard, I guess.
Yep.
And the dating stuff, that was really tricky, because I went from being a quote unquote very attractive 20-year-old to damaged goods. You know, at the time I was seeing somebody and I crashed my car, and they came to visit me in the hospital. And I said, thanks. Like, thanks for supporting me. Thanks for being here. Da, da, da. And they kind of ghosted me. They're like,
wow.
Sorry, this is a little too much for me to handle. I don't hate me, but I can't do this. And no, like I never held hard feelings against this person, because it was a lot to handle. It's a lot for me to handle. If I could have walked away from it, I would too, but I couldn't, you know. And that person, I have talked about it. We've come to terms with all of that good stuff. But yeah, it was a hard thing to swallow, to feel like I wasn't worth dating anymore, to feel like I wasn't going to be able to find someone that I loved. Like, and I did put myself out there for a few years there. I told a few men, like, yeah, I'm kind of into you. I'd like to try dating. And I get thank yous. Oh, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for that. I appreciate
wow.
that. And like, after so many thank yous, you just don't put yourself out there anymore.
Yeah,
and I
not
did,
really the reaction you're looking for.
No. And I didn't put myself out there for a very long time. I think it was also about 10 years as well, where I randomly met my boyfriend that I'm with now, Jake. We just like randomly met in online, and we had some shared interests, and we just kind of kept having these things that we had a lot in common. And let me tell you, I fought it real hard. I tried not to fall for this kid. And I was like, no, I don't date. I'm busy. I'm in school. Too busy for that kind of stuff. But weird, it was magnetic. I couldn't fight it anymore. And finally, I just had to admit, I was like, man, I really like him. So, and it stuck. Here we are a couple years later. I graduated college. I moved across the country, and he's stuck with me the whole time.
Did you disclose? I mean, I guess, again, tell me if I'm asking too personal. It's just genuine curiosity. But do you worry about when you're disclosing your disability? Were you upfront with it right away?
So this is a really unique case where he's actually in a wheelchair as well.
Okay.
So the men that I had put myself out to before were regular able-bodied men. And I was never looking for another wheelchair user. Like I said, Jake and I just kind of found each other. And he's been disabled his whole life. He, he's also has a spinal cord injury, but his injury happened at 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
So he's like 30 years in, but he's never dated another wheelchair user. So like, this is the first for both of us. So like, we never planned on this. We never searched out wheelchair users, but I think there is some kind of there's a lot that we can relate to, you know.
Yeah.
We know how things go. We know the struggle. We can be a little bit more patient and forgiving with the disability stuff, you know, especially the bathroom things. That was a thing with dating able-bodied people. Like, if I wet myself, are they going to be able to help me? Are they going to get embarrassed? Are they like, can they handle that? And so, yeah, so it was really nice having someone that could handle that. Cause you know, they knew what it was like to deal with things like that. I lost my train of thought, but yeah.
Can I just tell you how much I appreciate you being so, so candid with me? That's what I love about these conversations I have, is I'm pretty ignorant, or I feel like I'm pretty ignorant, and I want to be able to ask questions, but I never know who I can ask of. And so thank you for giving me permission to ask these questions, you know, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that has them, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely. And you're very welcome. And that's what I want to do, is I want to talk about the uncomfortable things, right? Like, it's not always, like I said, comfortable or appropriate to talk about sex or bathroom things or struggles all the time. Like, even just struggling to learn how to transfer again, like,
yeah.
That's a whole nother story in its own. But how are other people in the disability community going to learn about it so they can improve themselves? And how is the able-bodied community going to learn about it so they can understand us better, so that we can feel more included, and so that they can bring us into more mainstream stuff? You know, like we talked about it just the other, like what you mentioned, the buildings and things. I do have that perspective of being able to, before, hop on out of my car, jog up the steps of a building with a bunch of steps, drop off paperwork, hop back out in 35 seconds.
Yep.
Wheelchair bra user can't do that. I have to find an accessible place to park. I have to hope the weather is not crappy so it doesn't take me forever to put my chair together. I have to hope that there is even a ramp to get into the building.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just, there's a lot to a lot of differences to go to. And I want to show the able-bodied community that we want to be included more. We want these school buildings and these restaurants and these vacation spots to be more accessible because we want to do those things too. Yep.
Well, and then on a more practical level, like you were alluding to, the other, and I'm putting this disclaimer in here. I do not identify as disabled. I don't use a wheelchair. I mean, I'm rated at 90% through the VA through some stuff that happened while I was in the service, but that's not my identity. But, you know, the articles I read where, and some of the people I've talked to, where the doctors won't even talk to women your age about having kids, because it's like it never crosses their mind that you might have sex, or, you know, it's like, hello, you know, would you do that with any other 30, 31 year old woman?
No. And the biggest thing is not being seen. Like, you know, sometimes,
can you tell me
like,
more about that?
Yeah. So like, just because when I crashed my car, I was not in a position to get a new one. So okay. I wasn't able to save at the time. So for the last 10 years, I've been carless, and my mom was really lucky enough to like help me go with like my local doctor's appointments and things like that if I couldn't find public transportation. And there's times where if my mother and I were go out to the doctor's office together or out to lunch together, people wouldn't talk to me. They would address her. What is like she's my caregiver, like I couldn't answer for myself, you know, like what does she want to eat? Or is she ready to go into the room? Like, hi, I'm right here. I can answer for myself. And in the early stages, when I was kind of a feisty young kid, I would straight up say that, like, I'm right here. I'm right here. You can look good and talk to me. I'm a little more polite about it now that I'm a little more seasoned and educated on how to properly have constructive communication between adults. But yeah, it sometimes can be a little disheartening when I'm 32 years old, I'm very well educated, I have a lot of good experiences, and to go into that kind of setting and not be seen or not be treated like an adult is tough. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but there are still situations where it's like, did that just happen? Was that real life?
Wow. Yeah. I'm loud because I'm hard of hearing, and I'm 6 foot tall, and I never have a problem not being seen. It's good to hear this perspective, you know, it's because really this could happen to any of us. Any one of us could slip on a patch of ice for you know, it doesn't have to be as dramatic as, you know, getting in a car and having a horrible accident. No. So I really appreciate you sharing all this. It's incredible. Like I said, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting me ask these questions that sometimes I'm like, yeah, this is probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, I have one more that I want to dive into what you're doing for work now. I've always been taught to look somebody in the eye. So when I'm talking to them, that's just how I was brought up. So I used to crouch when I would talk to people in wheelchairs. Is that, and I'm asking, is it offensive? Should I not be doing that? Or is it just kind of a person to person basis?
I think if it's a person to person basis, I know for me, it depends on the situation, how busy the room is. If it's a huge crowded room, if someone takes the time to get down on my level, I'd very much appreciate that, because then you know they're taking the time to give you their full attention. If it's just me and you BSing, I wouldn't care if you're standing leaning on a desk, you know. If it's a little more casual, it's not that big of a deal. So it's very situational for me personally, but I do really appreciate those who do take the time to get on my level and to address me, talk, you know, instead of like trying to hug my head up here, they get down on my level and give me like a real embrace, like that kind of stuff. Just taking that one little extra step, it does matter. And I do appreciate that. I am grateful for those moments.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's talk about what you're doing now. I mean, we've only been talking for like half an hour or so. Let's dive into it. If you are currently the operations manager for Wheel With Me Foundation, and you, I don't know if that title carries over with the Wheel With Me Fitness app, or if the app is just something that the Wheel With Me Foundation created. Would you mind telling us, in the next, over the next 10, 15 minutes, just a little bit about what, because it sounds like Wheel With Me Foundation had a huge impact on your life. Mm-hmm. Obviously they still are, if you're still with them and you've become their operations manager. The podcast, by way of explaining what the Wheel With Me Fitness app is, from what I heard you share on the Enabled Disabled, it's the very first app for wheelchair users by wheelchair users about mm-hmm. exercise, instead of trying to adapt an exercise for somebody, to use your words, able-bodied, right? I mean, am I getting all that right?
Correct. Yeah. So last summer I had been coming to the empowerment events. I had been attending different things in the community. Like I said, I started getting more involved, and that's when I met Jessie. And Jessie is one of the founders of the Wheel With Me Foundation. She also founded Wheel With Me Fitness. Now these were two separate things for her at the time. Okay. The Wheel With Me Fitness was just kind of a support group. She was just trying to create a group where people could connect and, share different things. And then it just kind of kept growing from there. She kept pouring more into the foundation side, doing more like wheelchair meetups in person. So as she traveled across the country, she would host meetups and have different wheelchair users gathered together so they can meet one another, connect with one another. She still would host the online events and things like that. It kind of grew into, we also do some social media resources. So I also help run the social media pages. So on our Instagram, people can see that we share a lot of wheelchair related resources, like how to transfer from your wheelchair into a car, different pressure relief information, events that are going on that wheelchair users can attend, adaptive equipment, adaptive tools, and things like that. We also collaborate with a lot of our wheelchair using content creators, and we share their information that they have gone to like an accessible vacation spot. We want to share that. Like we're just trying to connect the community with as much knowledge and resources as possible so they can go on those trips. They can find things to do in their community. They can feel like they have a place to go, And then looking at the fitness side of stuff. So Jessie in particular, as she was growing this support group, she realized, there's just a lot of workouts you have to either adapt for someone in a wheelchair, or if they're already for someone in a wheelchair, they're kind of geared for the elderly. That's what she was running into a lot. And so that's kind of where this kind of passion of hers took off on. She's like, I want to create fitness for wheelchair users by wheelchair users that are younger, where people in our community can feel represented and seen. It's not just things that you need to do at the end of your life. These are things that we want to do to help preserve your whole life. And so last fall, that's kind of when I started getting involved. She was doing support group calls every week. We have workouts every week that we host on Fridays. We'll do a live Zoom workout for free for our group members. And luckily enough, someone else saw what we were doing, saw our passion, and we got the opportunity to collaborate with a really cool app designer. And that's kind of where that went. We wanted to give fitness for wheelchair users we wanted to make it more accessible for our community. And we also wanted it to be from us. We wanted it to be for the community, by the community. And I supported that. Fitness became a really huge part of my life the last couple of years, kind of like I said. And when I first came to that first empowerment event in 2021, I was struggling with a lot of things. And one of them was my weight and the way that I liked my body. And over the course of 2021 and all of this year, I've really poured into my fitness and my nutrition, and I've lost like 90 pounds.
Holy crap.
Exactly.
That's incredible. Good for you.
And that's why when I saw Jessie's mission, I was like, yeah, health and fitness has done so much for me and given me so much back. Like, again, I want to help other people, and I want to give that back to our community. And so I'm passionate about helping people. So it just, my background for my school degree relates to the foundation, and then the fitness stuff is just, it's just the good, like my sole hobby for right now. It's given me so much back, and I want to share that success with someone else, because I know there's a lot of other wheelchair users who are struggling with those things and who feel like they can't get over that barrier of like, I'm gaining weight and I don't know what to do, because that was me for 10 years until I finally just took control of it and was like, no, I'm gonna take time every single day. I'm going to do a little bit of resistance bands, and it doesn't have to be intense. I didn't have all these weights in the beginning. I had just two or three little resistance bands, stick it in the doorway and you're good to go. But yeah, so that's kind of my main work is I try to pour into the foundation, which is sharing resources. Eventually down the road, we would love to be able to have a transitional community, like an apartments complex for wheelchair users. So like as they're getting out of the hospital, they can have a space surrounded by other wheelchair users where they can grow, learn those independent skills, be able to go grocery shopping on their own, have like an accessible park that they can go visit. You know, like that is, you know, our 5-10 year plan down the road. But until then, we want to just keep giving people the local resources and the connections that they need until then. And then with our app, our fitness app, we really want to represent our community really well. And so we know that in the disability and wheelchair community, it's not just spinal cord injury patient people, you know, it's not just quadriplegics or paraplegics. We have people with MS or things like that. And we want to represent everyone. So our goal moving forward with the app is to get more faces in there. We want men in there. We want women in there. We want quadriplegics. We want people who have different abilities. We want that representation to be there. We want this app to be able to reach as many people as we can.
Wow. Is the app free or do you have to pay for, is there a paid version or is it like freemium or?
Yeah. So you can download the app for free. There is a few free workouts, but then to get full access to all of the different categories and the library, there is a small monthly fee.
Okay.
But then we add more stuff in there every month. We have challenges. We have a whole like strength training section. We also touch on like mobility and cardio and things like that. We just also were lucky enough to have one of our team members, our Wheel With Me Fit members, record some workouts in Spanish.
Wow.
We have the option of having, we do, so it's now bilingual. It's really great because nice. we do have a lot of users in Argentina, which is surprising.
Really?
Yes, our app is already global. We have users in Germany and France, Argentina, and a bunch of really cool places. So that's why representation is really important to us. And that's why we want to try to get more faces in there. So we're just going to connect with more wheelchair users in our community and just invite them over and be like, hey, you want to come and be in the app and do a couple workouts. And that's our goal moving forward with that, is just create more fitness opportunities, more categories and selections, more ways to challenge their body. We just want more faces because we want everyone in the community to feel seen when they open our app.
I love that. And to me, I think right or wrong, I don't think people truly value something if they get it for free. I think having a, you know, some kind of buy-in or fee, I think it's fair. I think it's necessary to some extent.
And it's funny that you say that because I feel like people in the disability community feel like they deserve a lot of free handouts, you know, like, oh,
you said it, not me.
I feel comfortable saying that because I live on disability. I live on Social Security right now. If I don't have food stamps, I wouldn't survive. You know, I am living the life that everyone else is living. But at the same time, I also know that that's not sustainable for my future. My plan is to absolutely get off of disability someday so that I can have a future. You know, most of us can't even have $2,000 in the bank.
Or get married. Yeah.
That's why I don't have a car yet, is because like, okay, well, how can I save up for a decent car without...
Well, the Able account now, but yeah, I mean... Yeah. Yeah.
And I did just recently, I just actually got my own account just last week. I had a friend of mine help me out with that. But I went 7 years not even knowing that was a thing. I was limiting myself. I'm like, oh man, I can only have $2,000. Like how am I ever going to even go on a vacation? Some vacations, like the airfare and lodging, is $2,000, not even like the fun stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so yeah, we put a lot of work into our app. We put a lot of time and commitment, and we also value investing in ourselves, you know. And when people come to us and be like, oh, your app's too expensive, like that's too much for me to pay for a monthly fee, I have no problem being like, well, did you buy any meals from McDonald's lately? Like one fast food meal or one pizza eating out is the cost of our app. If you gave up one night of eating out and invested that money into yourself, how much differently would you feel by the end of that month?
See, the words you're using. I told you I'm a student of words, and you're not saying it's a cost. You're investing back in yourself. I love this.
And that's what it ultimately comes down to. And that was what it was. For years, I didn't want to invest in myself. I was poor me. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it was me holding me back. And mm-hmm. It was one day I decided no more. I'm not going to hold me back anymore. I'm going to try until I fail. And then if I fail, then I'm going to try again. And if I fail again, then I'll try something different. And we'll keep learning. And that's the only way. That's the only way you can live your life. You know, you can't just stop. You can't halt.
Yes. No. That's. I got nothing to add. I mean, that's just it's awesome. So, how can people support the foundation? How can people support Wheel With Me Foundation? Is it only in North Carolina that people can get engaged if they don't use the app? Or tell me more about how people can support you.
Well, if individuals are looking to join our fitness community or looking for a little bit of help with their health and nutrition, they can download, like I said, Wheel With Me Fitness is in both of your app stores on the Google Play Store and then the Apple Store. Download that. That can give you a direct link to our Facebook support group. We also have the website, which is just wheelwithmefitness.com. And that gives you a direct link to our Facebook support group. It also gives you links to a lot of our recommended products and things to help you stay healthy, whether it's with your nutrition or your fitness. So that's all right on that website. When it comes to our nonprofit and the foundation, you do not have to be in North Carolina to get involved and be active. We are always looking for more individuals in wheelchairs who are willing to donate some of their time and speak at our empowerment events. So if there's anyone out there listening who feels that they could add value from their wheelchair, we would love to share that with the rest of our community. You can also donate to our website online at wheelwithmefoundation.org. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. Like I said, we're still just kind of in the sharing stages. We're re-getting our 501c3 status back up because we did transfer from one state to another. So we're just kind of rebuilding from the ground up. So right now our main focus is just really connecting those resources and stuff like that. But yeah, we always take donations of any kind. It doesn't have to be monetary. It can be your time. It could be your information, anything. Just feel free to reach out to us.
Awesome. Brianna, this has been phenomenal. I've had a fantastic conversation. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for letting me be me and asking probably really ridiculous questions at times, but I really appreciate it.
I personally did not think they were ridiculous at all. How can we educate each other, and how can the world grow if we don't have these silly conversations, as you would put it? And I'm just thankful that you gave me a space so I can share my story and experiences, and I just really hope that people can take some value from it. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Until next time. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Brianna. I'd love to get your feedback about it. We were talking after I hit stop with the recording about this phrase, quiet your quit. It's something that they've been talking a lot about within the Wheel With Me Foundation. And it's from a book written by David Goggins. I gotta tell you, you know, it's not inspirational that a woman like Brianna, who happens to use a wheelchair, is the operations manager for Wheel With Me Foundation. What's inspirational is the dedication that she puts to her job, that she's willing to go above and beyond. You know, she said she lost 90 pounds. That's inspirational. That is discipline. That is next level of taking it and saying, no, I'm not going to live like this. I'm going to make some changes and follow through on those changes. The inspiration is how she followed through on those changes. That's my point of view. I really love her knowledge plus action and discipline equals power instead of knowledge is power. I thought that was really insightful too, and I wrote it down, I underlined it. So I encourage you, whether you're a wheelchair user or not, to check out the Wheel With Me Foundation, check out the Wheel With Me Fitness app. There's a lot of people out there who do use wheelchairs, who may have never heard of these organizations or the app. Share it with them. Worst thing they can do is say, thanks, I already knew about this, or hey, why are you sending this to me? Either way, I think you'd be surprised at how many people would be grateful rather than offended. So, as always, please take the opportunity to support the organization, support Wheel With Me Foundation, if it so fits with your goals to provide for charities. You know, I'm including a link to the Enabled Disabled podcast that she was on. I'm including a link to their foundation. I'm going to include a link to their app. I'm also going to include a link to the books by David Goggins. You know, they do the book club. And I just really hope you guys will reach out to learn more about them and see how you can be a member of their community. Thanks for listening.